Want to thank the worship team for those songs. The last two songs that we sang there were two songs that we sang to my mother as she was dying. And, you know, it just brings a whole new perspective on all for Jesus. There really isn't a whole lot else in life that matters at that point. Just wanted to say, I failed to share at family altar time that Karen's heart is, or whatever is going on, is doing better. She was scheduled to have a heart monitor put on tomorrow, but the viewing being tomorrow, that'll be postponed at this point. So thank you for praying for her, for us as well. One of the things in life that we face is, you know, the uncertainty of it. And I titled the message this morning, Do What God Has Told You. Do what God has told you. You know, we sat there with my mother, and it was the last 30 hours was hell. No other way to put it. Thanks, Eric. I don't wish that on anybody. But one of the things that just stood out to me so stark as Mom lay there trying to get air, there was nothing else that mattered. Her hair was messed up. She was always combed. She kept herself neat. But it really didn't matter. At that point, all that mattered was that she could get her next breath. Didn't matter that her hair was messed up. Didn't matter that the covers were messed up on the bed. Nothing else mattered. And the thing that stood out to me in that whole thing was that in our spiritual lives, there should be nothing else that matters but that we get that spiritual breath from our Heavenly Father, because there is no other way that we can have life than unless we are able to get that spiritual breath from our Father. And that should be our focus. That should be what motivates us. That should be what moves us. That should be what causes us to lose focus of everything else and want that next breath. Now, unfortunately, this morning, I think you can probably identify with me as well, and I am a little bit emotionally exhausted this morning. So let's walk through this here. I think God has given us something here this morning. And one of the things that I find is that to do what God has told you, there's things that hinder us from doing that in life. And one of the things that I think we're faced with in that whole thing, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. One of the things that we're faced with as we're called to do what God has told us to do is that we're afraid of what it's going to look like. We're afraid of what it will appear like to the people around us. And again, going back to my mother, she didn't care what it looked like when she went for that next breath. She didn't care what it looked like. What was important was that she got that next breath. And many of us here this morning have experienced being afraid or having the fear of man and the fear of looking foolish to do what God has called us to do. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And let's jump down to verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are ungodly, which are mighty. Sorry. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. In verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And there's a couple other verses here in 1 Corinthians. There's a number of verses here that talk about the foolishness of the base things, the what seems insignificant type things, the things that we don't recognize as being the big glorious things. And sometimes God will ask you to do something that is not very big and glorious and glamorous. And we find it difficult to do. And sometimes we find it difficult to do the things that are big. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And it is pure foolishness for us this morning to think that for 1 minute that we can hide our sins from a heavenly Father. It is pure foolishness to think that we can hide sin from the God of gods, the creator of the universe. Psalm 69:5 says this, O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Proverbs 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. There is something within all of us. There is something that runs deep in the veins of every individual person that needs the approval of men. There is something that runs in our veins that keeps us from being completely free in what God has called us to do. For the fear of man, by needing the approval of man, how does it become more important what people think than what God thinks? How does it become more important what people think than what God thinks? Do what God has told you. Do what God has told you. And many times we find ourselves faced with being more important about what people think than about what God thinks. And I think the answer, how that happens is very simple. We're focused more on people than on God. We're focused more on people. We're focused more on what my neighbors are going to think. We're focused more on what my relatives are going to think. We're focused more on what my family is going to think than focusing on what does God think. And in this call this morning is my desire to call us back again to having an awesome, reverent fear of God. Do what God has told you. We need to be constantly reminded to fear God, because it is the fear of God that will keep us from yielding and becoming in bondage to the things of this world. If we fear God, the things of this world, they go strangely dim. And in fearing God, it keeps our hearts focused on what really matters. And our nation and our culture today, just as Ray was sharing and Jim was sharing, there is a rejection of truth at an alarming rate. And it is also coming into the churches in America. Just a rejection of truth. Some of you may have heard Chuck Swindoll this week talk about this very type of thing of the rejection of truth, the embracing only what we want to hear. We want to hear what's good. We want to hear what doesn't trouble us. We don't want to hear what's truth. And he talked about how that if you're driving down the road, if you discover there's something going on in your body, you find a lump or something, and and you decide to go to a doctor, and you drive down the road and you drive past the doctor's office, and he has a sign out that says, "We will tell you all good things." Are you going to go to that doctor? No, because you know what? There's something wrong with your body, and you know that there's something wrong with your body, and I'm quoting Chuck Swindoll. You know that there's something wrong with your body. And you know that you want to hear the truth. And you want to hear the truth even if it's the C word. You want to hear the truth if it means that you're going to die in a couple of weeks. You want to hear the truth. You want to know the truth because there's something wrong with your body. Why is it that we have rejected wanting to hear the truth when there is something spiritually wrong? When God has told us what to do, we don't want to do it. We reject it. Do what God has told you to do. As long as you need man's approval, as long as you need man's approval this morning, it will hinder what God wants to do in your life. Because even in the whole idea that for men, women, grown men and women, to recognize that they are living a life of sin, for them to come and fall on their knees before God and admit to weakness in this area and needing the strength of God, it looks foolish to the world. It looks foolish to neighbors. It looks foolish to church family. It looks foolish to family to come and fall down and say, "I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God." It looks foolish. But I assure you this morning, if you are not willing to take that step and look foolish in the eyes of men and women, you will not find freedom. If you're here this morning and God is telling you to do something, let's look at a few instances of looking foolish and the results and the outcome of them, which will lead on to our next point. Faith is the willingness to look foolish. Faith is the willingness to look foolish. Noah looked foolish when he was building an ark in the desert. How about that? Sarah looked foolish believing that she could conceive at 90. Moses looked foolish asking Pharaoh to let his slaves go. The Israelite army looked foolish marching around Jericho blowing trumpets. They looked foolish. David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a slingshot. He looked foolish. They even told him that. He had a fool's heart that was rising up in him, his youth. And the wise men, they looked foolish following a star. Trust me, go out there, tell somebody that you're going to follow a star and find something there. See if you're not found foolish. Peter looked foolish stepping out of the boat in the middle of a storm. He looked foolish. And Jesus looked foolhardy hanging on the cross, half naked. But the results speak for themselves. Listen, Noah stayed afloat during the flood. Nobody else did. Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Moses delivered Israel out of Egypt. The walls of Jericho, they came tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The wise men found the Messiah. Peter walked on water, and Jesus arose from the dead. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen? Yes, amen. There comes a time when we need to quit hedging our bets. There comes a time where we need to quit playing it safe. There comes a time where we need to look foolish in order to find the reward. And I believe this morning that if we are to begin to do the work, to build the ark, to saw down a tree, whatever it takes, start. And if we need to confess our sins, start. It may look foolish, it may feel like you will look like a fool, but I beg of you this morning, there is nothing that will give you the reward that you will find in confession. It may look foolish to kneel here in front of a bench to the rest of the world, but to the sinner, it is the saving grace of Jesus Christ that allows you to come to full repentance for your sins. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Do what God has told you. If he has shown in your life that there is an area of sin, repent. Repent. Doing what God has told you takes perseverance. You might find that God has told you to do something, whether it is get involved with a ministry or doing something that God has called you to do, it takes perseverance. So it does when you have recognized that there is sin in your life and you come and fall on your knees before the Father. It takes perseverance. Try to imagine the life on the ark, how it must have been with Noah on the ark. He probably didn't get much sleep. He was feeding and caring for the cattle, thousands of animals. It must have smelled to the high heavens. It is recorded that, did you know that an African elephant produces about 80 pounds of waste a day? And we know that there was at least two of them on that boat. And there were almost 365 days, which equals about 58,400 pounds or 29 tons of elephant doo-doo. Noah was busy on that ark. It was messy. And so it is in our lives. Sometimes when we recognize and God has called us to do something, and God has called us to repent or to confess something, it gets messy. It gets messy. But we need to persevere. We need to persevere. It's hard work. Obedience sometimes gets harder. Obedience sometimes gets harder. The blessing of God can complicate your life sometimes. The blessing of God being confession, repentance. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You see, the blessing of God can complicate things, but it's unlike the level of joy and fulfillment. It will bring a level of joy and fulfillment like you have never known. Unlike sin and harboring sin, that is weighty and heavy. No matter what it is that God has called you to do, it may take longer and be harder than you ever imagined it would be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and I tell you this with confidence. I tell you this out of my own experience. The end result is worth it all. The end result is worth it all. Do what God has told you. The end result is worth it all. Success is not about so much about getting where God wants you, but what you become on the way. Yes, our goal is heaven. But I believe what God wants more than anything, that as we journey through this life, the experiences that we experience in life shape us and make us into the people that God wants us to be. Do what God has told you. Turn with me to John 8. Verses 10 and 11. John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And I want you to see this. You know it, but I want us to look at it again. John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. We have the account here, and let me read in verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, they had brought a woman before him who was taken in adultery. And in verse 10, this is the result. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, and I want us to capture this anew this morning. What did he say? He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." And then he said this, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." And this morning, I believe there may be someone here this morning who has felt the call of God, the nudge of God, to uncover, to repent, to confess a sin. And you're scared to. You're afraid of what people will think. You're afraid of what people will say. It is causing you to withdraw within yourself. And you know that God is saying, you need to repent. You need to confess. And I want you to know this morning, everyone in this room, that if you are willing to confess and to repent, I echo the words of Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. But along with the words of Jesus, I say, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus, when the first thing he told her was go. Don't just stay here, go. And the second thing I want to point out was that he said, sin. Sin no more. You see, Jesus did not identify what she was doing as some kind of disease or a physical sickness. He said it was sin. Go and sin no more. And this morning I am calling you, if you are here this morning and you are caught up in one of these things, Jesus identifies the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He calls it sin. He calls it sin. There is no other word. You are not a victim that is caught up in something. If you have made the choice, it is sin. In the lust of the flesh, food, drugs, sexual sins, whatever it might be, Jesus calls it sin. In the lust of the eye, where we have envy or greed or want more and want to look good and all that stuff, Jesus calls it sin. The pride of life, looking good, unforgiveness, a proud person, Jesus calls it sin. But you know what he does? He so beautifully, with the woman that was taken in adultery, he looked at her and he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And I believe that he gave her everything she needed to go and sin no more. He did not send her out without giving her the ability to do what he had called her to do. Do what God has told you. Why? Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 26. Hebrews 10, 26 says this. Hebrews 10, 26. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were being so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. And I go back to the first in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge, and I want to call us to that warning of sinning willfully after we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. You have the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life and you sin willfully, there is now no more sacrifice for your sins. In other words, there is no other sacrifice that can save you. If you have rejected the blood of Jesus, I'm talking about willful sinning. I'm talking about sin that you know is sin and you continue to do it. You reject the blood of Jesus. You trample underfoot, it says, the blood of Jesus. In verse 29, will be thought worthy who has the Son of God, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. So when we have chosen to willfully sin after we have been born again, there's no other sacrifice. There is no other blood. There is no other Savior that can save you. It is only the blood of Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus is applied, there is a saving grace that happens. And I'm not saying this morning, we fall. We are all born with a sin nature. We mess up. We fail. This is talking about for if we sin willfully. And the author includes himself in that. He said, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Under the old law, when they were caught, when they found sinning, it was established by two or three witnesses, they were stoned. And if they rejected the sacrifice of blood, of bulls and goats and that kind of thing, if they rejected that sacrifice, there was no other sacrifice that could be made for their sin. There is no other sacrifice that can be made than the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary that will cleanse you and make you pure. And when you willfully sin, when you live in a state of willful sinning, you are rejecting that blood of Jesus and you are trampling it underfoot. God, have mercy. Well, some would say they believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. I believe that the Hebrews has many other scriptures as well as this scripture that does justice to the fact that you are able to be saved and you are able to walk away from that salvation. We are kept and we are secure by the blood of the Lamb. We are kept by the Holy Spirit. There is no question in my mind. But we can choose to live in willful sin, which will separate us from the reward. Some of the other translations, NIV says, if we deliberately keep sinning. The NRSV says, for if we willfully persist in sin. NASB, for if we go on sinning willfully. You understand it is a willful sinning, where there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. But here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it. In verse 35, therefore, do not cast away. Do what God has called you to do. Do what God has told you. Do not cast away. Therefore, do not cast away confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. And that's the promise. That's the promise that God gives us, that if we are willing to confess our sin, to yield our sins up to Him, He is willing to cleanse us and make us pure and holy and spotless before Him. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Do what God told you. Do what God told you. Don't let the fear of man stop you. Don't let the fear of man be the reason that you will spend an eternity in hell. Don't let the fear of man be that. And yes, repentance at times, let me rephrase that. Repentance looks foolish to the world. But I assure you this morning, it is the most manly, it is the most ladylike, it is the most adult thing that you will ever do, is to recognize when you're living in sin that I don't want this to be my life. And I'm willing to stand up, and I'm willing to take the consequences. That takes boldness. That takes great faith. That takes a willingness to look foolish in the eyes of those around us in this world. And I beg of you this morning, be bold. Do what God told you. And don't let man stop you. Let's stand together for prayer. This morning I haven't asked the chorister to lead us in a specific song for an altar call, but I do feel this morning that I'm going to open the altar up. I'm not going to stay up here and do a formal thing, but if God is speaking to you this morning and you recognize that God has told you to do something and you have not been willing to do it, there's an opportunity like now, like never before. Lay aside what might look foolish. Lay aside the fear of man. Lay aside anything else, because the redeeming blood of Jesus is still as strong today as it was yesterday. The day when you saved. And the Bible says, go back and remember the day you were saved. That blood is still available. If you're here this morning, you feel like that is not happening, there's an opportunity again this morning to make a commitment. You can do it where you stand, or you can come to this altar. That's up to you. It's not for me. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you, we adore you, Lord. We recognize again this morning that you have called each of us to a specific calling. Lord, I pray this morning that your Spirit would flood over us, Lord, that we would become pure, clean, and holy before you. Vessels of honor, Lord, that we can go out of this place into the world and be a living, shining testimony of your love. I pray, Father, that your blood would be all that is necessary, that all that we need. And Lord, that when we are desperate for breath, the breath of life, I pray, Father, that you would be the one that we turn to. I pray, Father, that you would be the one that we would call on, that everything else would go dim. And it would be the only thing that would matter, Lord, is that we have an awesome fear of you, and that our life breath, our spiritual life breath, comes from you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, lead our hearts and our minds to desire, to long after, to go after you. So, Father, again this morning, we give you this time. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the promise that if we are willing to confess, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, to be pure, to be clean, to be cleansed from all unrighteousness sounds heavenly. And, Father, I invite that for every believer here this morning, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I ask the chorister to come and lead us in song. And again, the altar is open. If you have a desire this morning, just kneel before the Father.